Are you who God says you are? Amen. All right. Well, if you are, then today you will know that you are created in the image of God. You will know that every human life is created in the image of God and that we are all children of God. So we're going to celebrate the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we're going to talk about the issue of respecting life. You know, if you look in the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, respect means a feeling or understanding that someone or something is important or serious and should be treated in an appropriate way. So what we're going to talk about is respecting life. Is life something that should be treated and understood to be serious? Is it something that should be understood to be important? And if so, do we treat it like that? All right? And we're going to look at it, obviously, today from the standpoint of abortion, but other things, too. We're going to talk about the value, the sanctity of human life, and how the Bible says we should respect life, and why the Bible says we should respect life. You know, people today, and you're going to see the statistics in a minute, people today are throwing away their lives figuratively, literally, because they don't understand that we are made in the image of God. If you really believe that, if you understand what the Bible says about who you are, you will understand something so significant that you should value life above everything else except God. So let's look at these. Let's look at the data from the World Health Organization for last year. Okay? The statistics from last year, death from HIV or AIDS, 1.6 million people. Death from cancer, 8.2 million people. Death from smoking, almost 5 million people. Death from alcohol, 2.5 million people. Death from malaria, almost 400,000 people still. Death from traffic accidents, 1.3 million people. Communicable disease deaths, that includes COVID from last year, almost 13 million. The seasonal flu, 500,000. I mean, that's a lot, right? Let me show you this next one. Here's the sobering statistic. Deaths by abortions last year, 42,640,209. Deaths by abortions more globally than all deaths from cancer, malaria, HIV, smoking, alcohol, communicable diseases, traffic accidents, all of those combined don't equal the number of abortions that were performed last year. Isn't that stunning? Now, I saw the statistics in the United States. We've actually been going down a little bit in abortions for the past few years, but there's still almost a million abortions in the U.S. every year. And what that tells you is that people don't understand life. They don't understand when life begins. The Bible's clear. They don't understand the value of life. And you think, well, wait a minute. This is just kids. Look at the quote in your bulletin from President Reagan. We cannot diminish the value of one category of human life, the unborn, without diminishing the value of all human life. And you see this in something called euthanasia. You know, euthanasia is when you want either assisted suicide or when you want somebody to terminate your life because maybe it's not going well. Maybe you're putting your decision in somebody else's hands that they're making the decision to terminate your life. Do you know that back in 1973, when Roe versus Wade was decided, making abortion a federally protected right, euthanasia was something those weird countries overseas practiced, and nobody did it. Okay? Last year in Canada, not too far from us, 7,500 deaths by euthanasia. Canada's a big country, right? 7,500 people. You go over to the Netherlands, very small country compared to Canada, 6,600 people died by euthanasia. What does that tell us? There is a lack of respect for life. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk and focus about abortion, obviously, because the unborn can't speak for themselves. The Bible tasks us with speaking for them. But you know, statistics show that the reason for abortion is not statistically rape, incest, or preserving the health of the mother. Those do happen, okay? Very, very small percentage of abortions. Most of the reasons people have abortions are because a birth of a child would interfere with their career, would interfere with their happiness, would cause them to have problems at work. Sometimes it's affordability. Sometimes it's fear of raising the child. How many of you guys used to listen to Fleetwood Mac? Okay, a couple of you know who they are. Last year, Stevie Nicks said this: if it weren't for abortion, Fleetwood Mac would not have existed. You know what? I used to like Fleetwood Mac. But I think we could have all survived without Fleetwood Mac, don't you? If those people had appreciated life, maybe we wouldn't have had Fleetwood Mac. But you know what we would have had? Another living soul on this planet. We would have respected life. So it's things like that that show us we've got our priorities in the wrong place. We don't respect life like we used to. Maybe the better way to say it is we don't respect life like God commanded us to. And I want to show you, maybe you guys have seen this, but this came from January 7th, and you're going to see a security video that captured an 18-year-old girl in New Mexico driving up to a dumpster, and watch what happens. So she gets out, takes a trash bag out of the back seat, tosses it in the dumpster. We've all done that, right? About 3 hours later, there were some homeless people that were rummaging through garbage, and they heard something. You know what was in the bag? Her baby boy. Thank God. I mean, literally, those people cared enough to dig down there, find out what the noise was. They called the police and the authorities right off the bat. That baby is doing fine. You want to say God protecting life? Yeah, God protected that life. But that's the lack of respect that people have for life. So turn, if you will, Genesis 1. We're going to start in verses 26 and 27. We're going to read a couple of passages in Genesis. So stand Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now flip over to Genesis 9. We're going to see the same thing when God is reaffirming the importance of life, when he's making a covenant with Noah. Genesis chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And listen to this. This incorporates another thing we're going to talk about here in a minute. Verse 6, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it." And be seated. And these verses talk about the fact, the truth, that God made man in his image. So you guys all agreed that you are who we say we are, right? Who God says we are. So we are made in His image. What does it mean to be made in His image? It doesn't mean we look physically like God. It means we have the capability to be moral. We have the capability to commune with God. We have the capability to be intellectual. We have the capability to understand what God says. We have the capability to worship Him. We are the only beings on the face of the earth that have the capability to worship God. Do you appreciate that? Do you understand how special that is? We're going to talk about that in a second too, but you are unique. The Bible calls you peculiar if you're a Christian, some of you more than others, but He does say that we are a peculiar people. We are a people set apart by God to worship Him. And what's happening in our world today is that we've gone so far away from the truth of Genesis. We call Genesis a fable. It's the creation fable. No, it's the creation story. Okay? We call Genesis a creation fable, and we do that because, you know what? If there's no God that created us, we're not accountable to God. We're not answerable to God. We've been told over the years that we're the result of billions and billions of years of random chemical reactions. The result being there is no God. The Bible's clear. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And listen to this description. Still Psalm 14:1. They are corrupt and they have done abominable works. That's what people who say there is no God do. If you believe in God and you believe God's word, then you are who He says you are. You are a child of God. You are forgiven, not forsaken, if you are a child of God, and you are created in His image. So the alternative that society points out is, you know what? There's no God. We can do what we want. We can go, we can have our careers, we can have our musical bands, we can have whatever it is, and we can advance our careers, we can advance ourselves, we can do whatever fulfills us. Who's going to survive? Well, the one who's strongest. Y'all ever heard survival of the fittest? That's not what the Bible teaches, folks. Survival of the fittest, that's evolutionary terms. Not what the Bible teaches. But that's what we do. And survival of the fittest, you look at people from a utilitarian perspective. How useful are they? Can they do something for me? Not did God create them in His image. What about the person you don't like? Did God create him in His image? Uh-huh. All right? And that would change our whole view of not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but our view of unbelievers. It would change our view about people that we don't like. We call them our enemies. We're supposed to love our enemies. If we understand God made them too, God wants them to be saved also, we would understand the scripture. We would get the idea of what God shows in His love. And the position of our society is not new. If you turn over to Romans chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 through 32. I mean, this was written 2,000 years ago. But I want you to see if these words written 2,000 years ago describe our world today. For the wrath of God, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And here's a key verse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in their lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Here's the last verse. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You understand what this verse is saying? That 2,000 years ago, when Paul was writing to the Romans, there was a group of people that had forgotten God, that they were acting like God didn't exist, and actually they hadn't forgotten God. What they had done is sat on the truth of God and squished it. That's what it means to suppress. Sit on it and squish it down so it doesn't show the truth of what you're trying to squish. They know there's God. They don't recognize Him as God. They don't treat Him as God. They don't acknowledge Him as God. Rather, they acknowledge other things and they praise other things. Does that sound like our society today? And then the last verse tells us, you know, not only do they want to do it themselves, they want other people to do it. They want company in their sin. They promote this activity. They promote their wrongdoing as normal. And you know what? Society accepts it over time. We got on a mailing list this year, a lot of mailing lists. This one is from Planned Parenthood. Okay? I want to read you some of the statements here. And you're welcome to look at this when it's over. There's more. I wish I could go through all of it. Today, they're complaining about Supreme Court and states like Tennessee enacting prohibitions and restrictions on abortion. And you know what they're complaining about? Is waiting periods where people have to think about the ramifications of what they're doing. They don't want people to think. Because if you think, maybe you realize, I'm made in the image of God. Maybe that thought crosses your mind. Listen to some of these. Today, abortion is often a luxury available to only to people with privilege and means. That is flat out unacceptable. They've redefined, you know, they call, we'll talk about this in a minute, they talk death, they call it pro-choice. But now they're talking about health care instead of abortion. At the core of this assault on health care is a fundamental crisis in health equity and racial justice. Okay? Please help us protect the future of abortion access. Our strength comes from our supporters. We've been in this fight for more than a century, and we're not going to stop until every last one of us can take full control of our bodies and our rights. Who controls your body as a Christian? God does. Okay? And here's Romans 1:32. With you at our side, we have a real chance to realize this vision together. We can move quickly to restore access to care and innovate to expand it. That's what people want. The world wants us to devalue life because if we value life, our thoughts turn back to our Creator. If we understand that we are not the result of random chemical reactions, if we understand that we are the result of God's breathing life into us, remember, we are the created beings of God. We are the ones He said, hey, this is very good. Right? You know that story in Genesis. God created man. Y'all believe that? Do you know more importantly who believed that? Jesus Christ believed that. Jesus Christ said there was an actual Adam and an actual Eve. If Jesus Christ said that, then we should accept it. Okay? I am who you say I am, right? All right. So what does this mean for the world? Look, truth number one, man is made in the image of God. And I've told you what that means. We just need to realize that. But that leads to a couple of other truths that we need to realize too. Truth number two is that man should value human life because God values human life. I'm supposed to be like God, right? Little Christ is a Christian. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. So how did God look at human life? What value did He put on human life? Well, I'm going to give you three things today. There's more probably, but I want you to understand three things about the value that God put on human life. Number one, in Genesis 1:28, our first parents were given a command. It says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God thought that human life was valuable enough that He commanded Adam and Eve to go forth and create more human life, right? It was their command. And don't miss this word. Then God blessed them. So from God's perspective, human life and the creation of human life is a blessing. Don't miss that. God's view is it is a blessing for life to exist. It's not a burden. Is it always comfortable? No. But it was a blessing that life actually exists. The second way we see that God values human life is in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. That's the actual translation. Thou shalt not murder. Why did God not want one man to kill another? Because human life's valuable. He didn't want that to happen. And then the best explanation, the best example of how much God values human life is in what He did with Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to die so that we could have eternal life with Him, right? Now, have you ever thought about it like this? He did not send Jesus to die for the cattle. He did not send Jesus to die for the sea creatures. He did not send Jesus to die for the birds. Think about this one. This one hits a little harder. He did not send Jesus to die for the angels. Y'all get that? He sent Jesus to die to pay the sin debt of man. So God valued human life and eternal life so much, and He loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Not for any other creature, for us. And why is that? It goes back to truth number one. Because we are made in the image of God. You know, throughout his word, he says, I don't want anybody to perish. In Ezekiel 33, he told Ezekiel, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. So why should you die? God wants us to live. In the New Testament, we go to this verse a lot, but 2 Peter 3:9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. He's long-suffering. He's patient with us, not willing that any should perish. That's how loving God is. He doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be led to eternal life. And that leads us to the third truth. We should value human life because God values human life. And then thirdly, we are responsible to honor God by respecting life. Now, as Christians, we know we have an obligation to go out and be ambassadors for Jesus, and we have this message particularly. We have this message that God values life, that God honors life, that we are created in His image. You know what? Our voices, they're low today. All the other voices are loud. Does that mean we stop talking? No, it does not. It means we keep talking. Well, what if we get drowned to just a whisper? We keep talking. It is our job. It is our assignment. It is our charge with God to keep on sharing the truth of His Word. The world says, are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? God doesn't see it that way. Turn to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I want everybody to turn there. God gives a choice. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. God gives us a choice, and like always, His Word is crystal clear. There's no gray to it. It's clear. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So God gives us a choice, and He tells us that choice is really simple. Life or death. We need to call it what it is. It's life or death. God says, look, you should choose life. There is no ruling of the Supreme Court that will change this. There's no legislature that will change this. There's no government rule. There's no president. There's no anybody who can change respect for life. There is one person who can. Who is it? Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ and you understand the sacrifice that He made willingly for you, you understand how important God values human life. Jesus was not killed. He went voluntarily to that cross. Yes, the Romans nailed Him up there. The Jewish people conspired to get Him nailed up there. But He came as part of God's plan to die, to pay a sin debt that we could not pay, so that we could live eternally with Him. God said, choose life. So we who are charged with doing God's will, we pray that in the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God told us what His will is in that verse in Deuteronomy 30:19. Choose life. So every time we get a chance, we need to choose life. This church supports CareNet. CareNet is a wonderful organization, serves multi-counties around here. But what it does is it just lets people make an intelligent decision. they'll do sonograms, they'll do tests, they'll let people see their babies. But what they do is they give you time. They give you information. They tell you about the Word of God. And what that does, when people start to realize, you know what, this fetus inside of me, let's call it a baby. This baby inside of me is something God made. All right? Your attitude changes. Or, you know, maybe your mom's getting to be a burden. Man, I hate going to nursing home every day. You know what? She brought you into this world. God made her. We don't judge people by their utility. That is a huge mistake, and that is something society is starting to do. We don't judge that. Every human being has value in the eyes of God. It's not what can you do for me. And we need to understand that. And here's the thing. Abortion is a sin. Abortion is murder. That's it. That's what the Bible says. But God also says, I sent my Son to forgive you of your sins. If you've been involved in murder of any kind, if you've been involved in any sin, Jesus came to die for you and you can be forgiven. Once you accept Jesus Christ, the forgiveness starts. The healing starts. There is only one sin that will keep you out of heaven, and that is failing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He covers everything else. So don't think, oh man, you don't know what I've done. Don't think, oh man, I did that then. I was somehow involved in that. I encouraged a friend. No. God will forgive you of those sins. And He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal everybody's heart and bring them to a saving knowledge of Him. So we need to choose life. We need to choose life for ourselves. We need to choose life for those that we can. And we need to share God's direction to choose life whenever we get the opportunity. Whether it be abortion, whether it be euthanasia, whether it be assisted suicide, whether it be, I'm going to kill myself. Whether it be, I'm just not happy, I feel suicidal. Choose life. God will work in the lives of those people. We just need to understand how valuable that gift is and appreciate the value of life because we are created in God's image. That's who we are. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives. We thank you for life itself. We thank you for the good days and we thank you for the bad days. Lord, we have those bad days, but we still value life. We are who you say we are. We are your children. We are the apple of your eye. We are created in your image. We are your ambassadors. We are your spokesmen. We are little Christ, Lord, if we are a child of yours. Lord, if there's anyone here who's struggling with guilt or doubt that you can't forgive them of what they've done in the past, Lord, show them you will forgive every sin except the failure to accept Jesus Christ. You will come into their lives, you will heal them, and you will start getting them back into fellowship with you, Lord. They don't have to be perfect to come, Lord. You want us just as we are, just as I am. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for our country today. We see society losing morals. We see society losing focus on you. We see society not recognizing you, just like they didn't back in Paul's day. It's just gotten worse. Lord, we pray that you would use this church, that you would use your church worldwide to reaffirm to people who they are, that they are not random chemical reaction results, that they are your children, your creation, your special, peculiar people, Lord, and that they would realize what the importance of that is. Lord, we always pray that the message we share will be given in love and given in respect, But the truth is the truth. Your truth is the truth. And we can't shy away from that, God. We can't shy away from what your word says about protecting life. We can't shy away from what your word says about choosing life over death. And we need to understand that that's the simple choice, life or death. Whatever the world wants to call it, it's life or death, Lord. May we choose life. If there's anything today that needs to be done, Lord, confession or anyone wants to come forward, Lord, let that happen today. But you work in the hearts of everyone here. Strengthen them, Lord, for those of us that are Christians. Give us the ability to share this truth with others in a loving, caring way. Not that puts people down who've been through this, or not that puts people down who are thinking about abortion or euthanasia or anything like this, but in a way that shows them how valuable they are to the God Almighty, creator of the universe, that they can understand that life is valuable. And this we pray in the name of your Son who came and gave his life for us to show us how valuable we are. Amen.